Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul here. Oh, Paul has always been a blessing to me. I'm sure it's been to many of the missionaries. We can almost kind of hide in Paul, you know. He's just the man upon the earth, should I say, or the human figure. I know God, Jesus, the Lord, he became man and all that, and he is the greatest example. And I often see myself in Paul's shoes because he's like me. You know, he gets his feet dirty. You know, the Lord, hey, he didn't get his feet dirty. He couldn't get his feet dirty. You know, I see Paul, you know, just a person like me, but God called him and God wanted to use him. Look, it says, or God did use him. Ephesians 3 and verse 7, it says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Amen. Brethren, don't expect till you come become holy thou art, or till you become the theologian that you want to be. Brethren, and I'm not saying you have to go to Mexico, you know. It could be. It could be one of these other places. It could be right here in San Antonio. But brethren, don't wait for that. A lot of people don't feel worthy enough to preach God's word. All how often we get out and we feel, oh boy, you know, how am I? No, just get out. Just get out and preach. And I've just had to rest on God's grace, because like Paul says in another place, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And if we keep, like was said here before, if we keep looking in, we're going to stop working. We keep looking around to each and every other person. We're going to stop. But we got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in this flesh dwells no good thing. And it's by God's grace. That has been my key word for this last year. It's been grace. Grace. And, you know, we're saved by grace. We're not saved by becoming missionaries. We're not saved by any of our good works. We're saved by grace. And I'm thankful, because if it's by my works, saints. Paul's a humble man. I just wonder, how do you feel? Do you feel real spiritual? Maybe you've been called to a land, and do you feel real spiritual? Maybe just here in San Antonio, and you feel spiritual comparing yourself to the others at the workplace? The least of all saints. Brethren, God doesn't call many wise men, many noble. He calls people like you and me. And he wants to transform us, that's for sure. But he wants to use us. Let's go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I think, let's just go to Psalm 139 first. God knows everything about us. I think too often we know that up here, but too often in our daily walk, I don't know what it is, but sometimes we forget that. And let's look at Psalms 139. It says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways." God knows everything about us, brother. He knows our down settings, and he knows when our uprisings. He knows the good and the bad. He knows that. He's acquainted with all our ways, brother. We need to just come recognize who we are. First of all, if you're saved, who you are in Christ, that you're in Christ, that you are saved. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, eternally saved, recognize that. And recognize that you're going to have downsettings and uprisings. Not that we look for the downsettings all times, but God knows these things. And brother, don't hide from Him. Just confess it to Him and get back up. Then He says in verse 5, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." You know, in the Christian life, you're going to go forward and you're going to go backwards. You know, I can't say I've arrived, because I'm kind of fearful of God's pulling me back, you know, because I know how it feels. It's good for me, though. It's good for us, brethren. And well, let's get back to the scripture, get my thought back. It says 5, it says, "Thou hast set me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me." God has laid his hand upon you as a Christian. I think of God's hand as grace. I mean, it's not like he laid his hand on us and knocked us out, you know. Hey, we're in His hand. He's laid His hand upon us, you know. And I thank the Lord for that because there's been some, like it says here, that I've been set behind and before. I'm thankful for where I'm at. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it as right now, by God's grace, I would not trade it for anything else. I've had riches. I'm thankful God's blessed. God's provided. I'm thankful for all that. But you know what? This is where it's at. This is where it's at, brother. And you know, I know everybody can't go, but you can. I say you can. You know who you are. God's been dealing with you. He's been showing some things to you. Look what it says in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, I think some brethren trying to run. They're trying to flee from God. God's been calling you to do something. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. You got an idea what it is. You're starting to see something. God's trying to show you, hey, you know what? This. Whether there's playing a guitar and or the piano in the church, whether it's singing, whether it's giving, whether it's preaching more in the church, whether it's leaving the church, leaving this land and going to another land. God can fill your spot here. God can fill your spot here. We've seen the church go, you know, it's like they say around here, an accordion, you know. I was just thankful for the news that Brother Adrian brought to me when he came up here. He says, you know what? Oh, Dolores came back the other day. That Sunday that you were, I said, praise the Lord, Dolores, a lady that has a couple children, a lady by herself, and she got saved according to her testimony. She came back. Now, I don't know how long she's going to stay, but you know what? Some go and some come back. Some go and some don't come back, but God always brings someone else through there. And some stick. Amen. Some stick.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And brethren, you know what, around here, this group has stayed about the same, a little bigger, looks a little bigger now. But you know, that's what's happening. Anyway, where can we go? You can't hide from God. Well, anyway, there's a lot more here, but in verse 14 it says, I will praise thee, David says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. What did David say? He will praise him. How about you're just here in the church? Are you praising the Lord? Where's the hand clapping? I say, you know, I don't say we have to get all charismatic or nothing, but where's the hand clapping? I remember Leanne came the other night, and I think she felt the same thing. She started clapping, boom, boom, and then, before you know it, the brethren were starting to clap. Where's the praise? Where's the praise? David says, I will praise thee. Are you waiting for a feeling? What are you waiting for? You're waiting to see God? Are you starting to live like these others that got to see something to believe? He says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. How about the gospel? Does it seem marvelous to you yet? I tell you, all around me, I see things happening. I see in the news today how a lady got battered and her 10-year-old boy battered with a bat, a baseball bat. I mean, you know, I'm saying is you see all the stuff happening and then we just have to rest. We see even our own flesh, what it does, what its desire, what it's always, you know, after. And then we have to just remember the marvelous work of God. I know that's my rest. He is my resting place. The Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, how about you? I know there's some sound people here. I'm thankful for you. You can see it. You know, I'm not talking about an outward thing. You see it in the fruit of their lives. But maybe God's calling you for a little more to praise them. Well, let's go on to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, this chapter here talks about the collection for the poor and giving and all that. It gets into 9 gives into that, and I'm not going to get into that. I don't think I'm going to get into that, but I want you to see something, that giving is not always just giving your money or your things. I think a lot of people substitute, like it says in verse 5, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know, it's one, you can't buy God. You just can't buy God. If you're not saved, you cannot buy God. You know that. If you cannot, whatever price you could muster up, you cannot buy God. And Christian, you can't buy God.
You cannot buy God.
These people here, these Macedonians, they gave of their own selves to the Lord. What's God calling you to?
I don't know. I don't know. But I know he's calling some of y'all to get up out of your chair. Quit being a snorehead, if you know what I mean.
A lot of you when the brother gets up and preach here, I know we all got to go through these things. We all get tired and all that. But I mean, time after time after time, something's getting wrong. Something is wrong because if you're just here and you're just giving over here, but you're not giving over here, giving yourselves to the Lord, something's wrong. God, these people here, they gave of their own selves to the Lord. How can you give of your own self? And then it says in verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything. Now, how many here are not abounding in everything? Huh? Brother, you can be a missionary in Mexico and abound in everything. You can live right here in San Antonio and abound in everything. It says, ye that abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Think about that. Forward a year ago. I'm not sure I got the clear thought about it, but it spoke to me in a certain way. I think about, it's been a year since we come here to have this conference. And a year ago, God has spoken to some people, and they didn't move. They tried to hide in the darkness. They just shunned God's call. They just let it go. They start building bigger barns. They start looking for a place to retire. They look for a resting place. Brother, you're strangers and pilgrims. Hey, praise the Lord for the rest. Missionaries rest too. You might come find me with my slippers on and rest. There's a rest for the people of God. But what I'm saying is, brethren, that I think if we forget, like one of the brothers preached here, our primary reason is to get the gospel out.
Amen.
But I think people are just wanting the rest of God. They're looking for rest. Praise the Lord again for the rest. But your real rest comes when you see Jesus face to face. I'm not against building and against having, you know, things. Don't get me wrong, brother. But you know who I'm talking to. You know who you are. I mean, if you're in God's will and doing what God wants you to do and you're building, ain't nothing wrong with that. If you know you're in God's will. But some of y'all shake when you build those bigger barns and those bigger bank accounts or whatever. He says here, in verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. Now, perform. Now. And then he says that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. What do you have for the Lord? Yourself. What do you have besides yourself? Talents. What do you have? He says here, in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You know what you have, brother, in your heart. And you know that God's asking you for it. And that's what God wants. So what you have, not what you don't have. Maybe you're young in the Lord and all this. This might give you some emotional drive or something. Well, if you don't have what God has, if you don't see what God has given you yet, well, it's not talking to you. It's not for you to jump too fast. I'm talking about those. I'm not saying there's a time period either. You know, Paul told, Timothy, despise not thy, let no man despise thy youth. It could be. I'm not trying to close the door on nobody, but it's according to what a man hath. He says in 12 again, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Look at verse 15 to finish off. It says, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Think on that, brother. I don't know how to put it. You all think on it. What are you gathering? Do you have a lot? Praise the Lord.